This is Wayne Morris. In today's story, I'm delighted to play the role of a great naval leader. I think you'll find it very exciting. It's another program in the series...
Adventure is your heritage. The United States Navy and its Naval Reserve present the noted motion picture star, Lieutenant Commander Wayne Morris, U.S. Naval Reserve, bringing you the story of a famous aircraft carrier and the valiant men and officers who manned her. In the complex field of naval aviation, it takes a great deal more than a pair of wings to sustain a Navy plane in flight. For every Navy plane that soars aloft in the defense of our country, there must be machinists, electronic technicians, mechanics, and aerographers to perform the vital jobs of service and maintenance of our aircraft. The Blue Jackets of our Air Navy enjoy the reputation of skilled technicians, skilled in keeping the wings of our Navy strong, skilled in keeping aggression from the shores of our nation. And now, Wayne Morris as Captain Reeves in The Wasp Stings Twice, another true story which proves that, in the Navy, adventure is your heritage.
It seems so long ago now, that spring of 1942. For America, the war had just begun. In Asia, we were reeling back under a series of successive blows that had pushed us out of Guam and the Philippines, southward as far as the fringes of Australia. In Europe, we were reaching feeble tentacles across the channel, probing the enemy for latent weaknesses, slashing at his lines of communication, bombing his industries, building ourselves up for major attacks that had not yet developed beyond planning boards and high-level discussions. None of us knew what lay ahead. Heroes whose names we had not heard would headline a million daily newspapers. Weapons our generals had never seen would become decisive factors. Pinpoints on foreign maps would become as famous as New York City. So far, we had not even learned how to pronounce Bastogne or Remagen. But even then, in the spring of 1942, we knew about Malta.
Read all about it. Malta bombed 7 straight days.
Nazis lose 12 planes in another Malta attack.
Shoot down 19 German planes over Malta. Attacks continue.
Malta still holding out. Beg reinforcements.
But to the key officers of the United States aircraft carrier Wasp, on duty at Scapa Flow, Malta was to become more than a headline. It was to become a job. Let me have your attention, gentlemen. I've called you together in my quarters to tell you that the British government has requested the American Navy to carry a cargo of Spitfires to Malta. The Wasp has been ordered to fulfill this mission. The Navy Department realizes that she wasn't built for close-to-shore attacks, but there isn't another flat top available for the job. But
Captain Reeves, the Nazis can get air supremacy at almost any point over the Mediterranean. Besides, Malta is a British island. Isn't it their show?
The British will give us destroyer escort. That's the best they can do right now. They haven't any cargo vessels to spare, thanks to the U-boats. They had planned to fly reinforcements over from Libya, but that's out too. They need every scrap of air power right there. As a matter of fact, I understand Libya wouldn't mind getting a few reinforcements themselves.
Captain Reeves.
Yes, Lieutenant McCarthy.
Don't think I'm against the British just because of my name. but there is one thing I'd like to know.
Yes?
Now, the Navy doesn't ask a man to risk his neck unless there's a darn good reason. Just how important is this Malta?
One of the most important places in the world today. The island is an unsinkable aircraft carrier within easy range of all southern Europe. That's the military answer to your question, Lieutenant. But there's another answer. Malta's important because of her people. They've gone without food, electricity, even without drinking water. The Nazis can't sink this island, but they can starve it into submission. If the British get these planes, they'll be able to reopen supply lines. Does that answer your question, Lieutenant?
Yes, sir. It sure does.
The Spitfires destined for Malta were loaded at a secure port and stowed in the hangar deck with its curtains down. Our own fighters and escorts were moored to the flight deck. Off Portugal, we picked up an escort of British destroyers and ran to the gateway of the Mediterranean, Gibraltar. Gibraltar was the crucial point in our mission. Spain had been infiltrated with German agents, and the slightest whisper of our passage through the straits would immediately be echoed to Berlin.
Sure, Captain, those motors sound loud.
Yeah, it's just in our minds, McCarthy. We can't be heard from the shore, I hope.
Unless they've got spotting stations on the beach, or planes, or... What's that, sir?
Where? I don't see anything.
There was a light on that hill. I'm sure of it.
Well, it's not there now.
I tell you, I saw it, sir. They've spotted us.
If they have, we'll be a sitting duck for a German attack by daylight.
More lights, Captain. Some on the Morocco side, too.
Yeah, I can see them now, McCarthy. Of course, they could be automobiles.
Yes, sir. But as a good Irishman, I'm fully equipped with a special issue sixth sense. And that tells me that right now the German Air Force is receiving a little bedtime story called How to Kill a Wasp.
But McCarthy's sixth sense didn't seem to function so well in southern latitudes. There were no reports sent to the German high command from Spain. The German Air Force thought we were still at Scapa Flow. We'd sailed through the Straits of Gibraltar as though we were invisible. From then on, the voyage was routine. All the planes reached Malta safely, and we presumed that our mission had been successfully completed. But when we got back to Scotland, we learned that our feelings of satisfaction were somewhat premature. One cargo of Spitfires hadn't been enough to turn the tide. They needed still another.
The British will do more than escort you this time, Captain. They have a carrier, the Eagle, which will accompany you carrying a full cargo of her own.
Even then, Admiral, I don't imagine Malta will be oversupplied with fighter planes.
I'm afraid not, Captain. But they'll manage to hang on. They've worked their share of miracles before.
The second trip seemed more or less routine after the first. Entering the Mediterranean, we were on edge, looking for and expecting trouble. But again, the sneak past Gibraltar was uneventful. Again, we were able to approach Malta without undergoing Nazi attack. But as the Spitfires began to take off from our flight deck on the last leg of their journey to Malta, the routine was abruptly shattered.
Prepare to launch aircraft. Prepare to launch aircraft. Launch aircraft.
Look at that plane, Captain.
He hasn't got enough speed to take off.
He's got a crash.
Hold it. Okay.
The pilot was picked up, and we proceeded with the launching. Three planes later, a Spitfire lost its detachable auxiliary fuel tank during takeoff. It circled above us for minutes, and then...
He's going to try a landing, Captain.
Looks that way, McCarthy.
But he can't. He hasn't any arresting gear.
And there isn't enough space.
A Spitfire can't land on a flight deck.
Clear all planes off flight deck. Clear all planes off flight deck. Emergency stations. Emergency stations.
Darn fool. Here he comes.
He'll go over the edge.
Watch it. He made it!
Without an arresting gear, for the first and only time, a Spitfire managed a successful return to a flight deck. The remainder of the launchings were uneventful, and as we watched the plane soar toward Malta in perfect formation, we thought that was the end of a day's excitement. But the Spitfires themselves, although they didn't know it, were flying into a show of their own. We kept radio contact with one of the squadron leaders. He reported that the Mediterranean was smooth, visibility perfect. They maintained a moderate speed until the outline of the island was dimly visible ahead.
There seemed to be a number of clouds over Malta, Captain. Strange. The rest of the sky is clear, perhaps. Yes, sir. It isn't clouds. It's Akak. The island is under attack.
The arrival of the Spitfires couldn't have been more timely. Nazi planes were engaged in a routine bombing run. They had come in low over the main defense batteries. Interceptors from the island bases were zooming up to engage them, but the Germans were ready for these attacks from below. They were not expecting fresh squadrons of Spitfires to drop down on them from the sky above.
Well, here we go, Captain. We're going down to get into the act.
The Spitfires from the Wasp and the Eagle took the Nazis by complete surprise. They were caught in a wedge from which there was no escape. During the next 30 minutes, one of the most decisive air battles of the war took place. There are varying estimates of the number of enemy planes shot down or damaged, but whatever figure you take, the Germans suffered a great air defeat. The shores of Malta and the Blue Mediterranean were scattered with wreckage. The Nazis had lost their air supremacy over one section of southern Europe. Lost it for good. The Wasp, the Eagle, and the Spitfires they carried assured the Allies that this victory would not afford a temporary respite. It would be a turning point in the battle for Malta. We return to Scapa to await further orders. Gentlemen, a report from London has just come in. As soon as it's decoded, it'll be brought to me here.
I wonder where they want us to go now. Malta again?
I doubt it, Mr. McCarthy. I think we can close that chapter in our log.
I'll say one thing for our allies. They really know how to handle a Spitfire. I never thought I'd see one of them land on a carrier deck.
They don't do so badly with them in the air either, McCarthy.
Well, I've always heard there's an awful lot of Irish blood mixed up with the English.
Oh, Captain Reeves, sir. Here's the message from London.
Is it secret, Edwards?
No, sir.
To the crew of the United States aircraft carrier Wasp. Who says a wasp can't sting twice?
I guess that's true. They do claim a wasp can sting more than once.
Well, he's right. He's right, whoever sent it. Our wasp got in two stings against the Nazis around Malta.
Captain, who's the message from?
His Majesty's Prime Minister, Winston Churchill.
Wayne Morris will return in a moment. An observer once remarked that the deck of an aircraft carrier during flight operations presented the greatest scene of organized confusion he'd ever witnessed. This was his way of paying tribute to the efficiency of Blue Jacket flight deck crews, directing traffic, spotting planes on the limited space of carrier flight decks so quickly that entire squadrons may be launched or taken aboard within minutes. These are the men of the Navy whose deft handling of naval aircraft makes ready in minimum time the sting of our giant aircraft carriers serving in our national defense. And now, once again, here is our star, Lieutenant Commander Wayne Morris, U.S. Naval Reserve.
Thanks, Don. I just want to say how much I enjoyed bringing you another story from our great naval heritage. Step up and join the Navy, fellas. It's a great life.
Adventure is Your Heritage was written by Bob Libet and Frank Burt and was directed by Frank K. Danzig for Universal Recorders. Wayne Morris appeared by arrangement with the Hollywood Coordinating Committee. This program was transcribed under the general supervision of William J. Bailey for the United States Navy Recruiting Service. And now this is Don Wilson inviting you to join us soon again for another in the series, Adventure is Your Heritage.